Hello, everyone. Welcome back again to another episode of Basement Banter. I think this is officially the 20th. I think I've been saying for the past, like, 3 weeks that it's, like, the 20th episode, and I keep getting it wrong, but I'm almost certain this time it's officially the 20th episode. This week, I'm joined by Victor Pontrelli.
I'm back.
And Nick Vallant.
What's going on?
So, I thought of this idea to have a podcast. Well, not the whole podcast, this specific episode today when I was sitting in line to get coffee. We'll get to the actual art of it, but there was someone talking on their phone. I'm like, oh, that's like the worst thing ever. And I might be a little bit more of a nitpicky person, and that's why I have a podcast, just because I like to hear myself talk, I think. But I think like something good to talk about that no one really ever touches on is just like social etiquette. Just like when you're out in public, there's different ways you should act in certain places. And I feel like that's just like something that you all would be interested in. All of you on your little commutes to work this Thursday morning or whenever you're listening to it, you're definitely like, oh, yes, finally, Ryan, give me some insight on social etiquette. All right, so I will. So the first thing that I want to talk about, since it's Thursday, is work etiquette. So once again, as I said, that there's completely different, as they say, if you take like a communications classes, different masks you wear. And the work one, I think, might be the furthest from yourself as most of them. So Victor wanted, that was the first one he said. He's like, we have to talk about work etiquette. So Victor, what's the what's your synopsis of work etiquette?
Yeah, so work etiquette is interesting because at my job, we use something called CODA. And CODA is essentially, you know, how you act, how you dress when you're at work, right? And it's work-appropriate topics and, you know, work-appropriate clothing.
Yikes, yeah.
and things like that. But I had a funny example. So I've been at my job for about a month now. And after, you know, about a month, we all decided we're going to go get drinks. So this past Friday, we got drinks. We had a good time. You know, the alcohol started flowing. Inhibitions let loose, to speak. But towards the end of the night, you know, we were about to depart, separate ways. And one of my girl coworkers gave me a hug. And I didn't really think much of it, but then Ryan texted me about this podcast, and it came back to me. And I realized I would never, ever, ever hug one of my coworkers when I'm leaving work. Like, right. That would never, ever, ever happen. But all of a sudden, we're at a bar, and we're leaving, and now it's appropriate to hug. I just found that interesting. You know, just two different scenes with the same people. We have the same relationship, but because now we're in a different scene, a different place, all of a sudden, it's appropriate to hug. So I just find the difference there interesting.
Yeah, that is. Maybe it's because there isn't the superior present. You know, like your boss isn't there, so you feel like you could be a little more like yourself. Alcohol doesn't help or it doesn't hurt. I was thinking about that too today, because, you know, like you'll have conversations when you're sitting at lunch at work, and there's just some things you want to say during those conversations, but like you definitely can't.
Gotta keep a CODA.
Yeah, exactly. Like, someone that I work with had just went on a trip to India. So he was talking about like all of this stuff. And he was like, oh, yeah, like it's pretty run down, but the food's good. And I was just kind of sitting there. I'm like, would you like really want to eat the food from India? Because like, you know, like because there's some parts of India, like I know people who are from India, and there's some parts of India that are just like they don't even have plumbing. So then you're like, oh, yeah, the food's good. I'd be like, ah. Like, you know, like, I barely want to get seafood from a place that's landlocked, you know? Like, I don't even want to go to, like, a restaurant in our town. Like, we live in a pretty nice town. I don't even want to get, like, salmon or anything from there. I won't even look at it. I won't even look at the seafood part because I'm like, ah, like, we're landlocked. Then you're like, to go from there and be like, oh, yeah, the food's pretty good in, like, India that, like, some parts of it are, like, terrible. Like, I'm like, oh. But, I mean, you don't really bring that up at work because I feel like they'd be like, oh, well, what does that mean? And then it would turn into some whole thing. Like, I'm, like, suggesting something that I didn't mean to. And then, like, it's, like, a whole big argument. Or not even an argument. It's like, oh, you broke the golden rule. Yeah. Of like, you know, everything has to be very on the surface at work. Which also is going off of, or going back to what you said, that, you know, like, hugging someone is very weird because you can't really give, like, your whole, like, you know, like you can't really be like, oh, hey, like, oh, like all like, I don't know. You get what I mean. Yeah, you get what
yeah,
I'm saying.
Yeah. I think going back to what Victor said, I also think that when you're in the work environment, you're not going to, it's so much more of a different environment, obviously, because you're at work, you're kind of focused in on what you're doing. And going to you, Victor, you've only been there a month, so you don't really know these people all that well.
No.
And you only went out the one time. It was your first time going out, so now you're really getting a chance to talk to these people, get to know them a little bit. And this girl must have just felt it appropriate to hug you, which I think isn't a bad thing. It's just, I think it caught you a little off guard at first, just because you don't really know her. You don't really talk, obviously, throughout that much throughout the workday, so you don't know that person all that well. So I guess once the alcohol started flowing and different things happened, she just felt, hey, let me give him a hug. Why not?
It's funny because it felt appropriate.
Yeah.
For the situation. But I just imagine that happening at the end of the workday. See you guys. See you tomorrow. And just hugging all the girls. It would be completely different and just weird.
Absolutely. I mean, at the work, you're kind of just given more of like a, at the end of the day, like, all right, I'll see you guys later type of thing. Maybe a wave, maybe probably just a wave, honestly. I can't imagine you going much more in depth with your coworkers who you don't really know all that well. Plus, you're in the working environment. I think it just could be a little weird.
But it's almost kind of more stressful because then, like, when you go out to the bar, you're like, all right, now I could actually, you know, you're like, you're so bottled up at work. You're at a bar and you're like, all right, here's my few points I could actually hit when I'm out, just to express some semblance of what I'm really like outside of work. Yeah. You know, like the girls probably like, oh, hi, like trying to be like, oh, yeah, I'm actually very friendly outside of work. In work, I know I'm kind of quiet and stuff, but like, I like to be a fun person too.
Yeah, when you're in that social setting, everything changes from work. You start to let loose a little bit, especially you guys went out for drinks, the alcohol is flowing. Everyone just becomes a hell of a lot more social and wants to talk more, especially like they want to get your opinion on different people at the job and like what you think about it and all that different type of stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just like stuff, like little things at work that like your desk partner, you know, like the one kid I work with, me and him have like a pretty good like relationship with that stuff. But I'm just thinking about it. Like if you put someone else that you don't really know, throw them into the mix, the conversation just changes so much because you're like, oh, man, have to avoid getting in trouble with that stuff. And that's like kind of stinks, too, because it's almost like you're in like a school environment. You know, at school, in high school, you couldn't really let it rip with your conversations because then there's those people like, oh, that kind of violates like school code with like what you do and can't really talk about. But when you're sitting next to someone really close, you could talk about it. But like that's kind of like those secret connections. So that's also like with the bar kind of comes into play. You've also kind of have thrown each other a lifeline for at work when you know you could be cool when you're there because you also went outside of work, saw what they were like outside of work. So now in work, you're like, okay, if I'm at the water cooler with this person, I could talk about whatever. You have a feel. But when you're in work, you kind of have like blinders on and it's like chipping away at a wall and you don't know what's going to be behind the wall. It could be like, it could be golden or it could just be like a whole like thing of water and just drown yourself, shoot yourself in the foot.
I know from last year I interned at ADP and they would bring in food trucks and different stuff every once in a while. And it was my first week there and they brought in a ton of different food trucks and I didn't really know anything about it because I was new. I didn't hear much about it. So the one lady grabbed me. She's like, are you going to come out for the trucks? I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. So she's ended up telling me how there's food trucks and different stuff outside and it's all paid for like by the company. So we went out there and I kind of sat with these kids roughly about my age, maybe a year younger, a year older, depending on who they were. And at first it was really awkward because I didn't know what I could or what I couldn't say to them and how they would take certain things. But so I kind of sat there quietly at first. And then once like I decided, all right, I got to stop being weird and just get social, like the conversation picked up and I realized, oh, wow, like I actually have some pretty cool coworkers that I never knew I had, just because when you're in the working environment, you're just working, kind of you interact a little bit, but it's not like you're out socializing and whatever else.
Yeah, that's a gut check.
Big time.
That's something I also wanted to bring up. That's a gut check. If there's like somewhere like a coworker asks you to go do something with them in the work day, you got to go do it.
Yeah.
Then if you don't do it, then you seem like a weirdo.
Absolutely.
Like, I used to work at this warehouse and the kids, or they're not even really kids, like the old, like people that are like maybe like 10 years older than me. They go like, why don't you come here for lunch with us? And I'm like, did I really want to do it? No. But I'm like, all right, if I don't do this, then I'm going to be the weird
just
kid.
Just blatantly say
right.
No.
There was one kid who eventually joined in the middle of the summer and he did not Like, we were like, oh, I want to get lunch with us. A couple of times he said no. And guess what? Like, there'd be those conversations. You'd be hanging out towards the end of the shift, like, hanging out, talking. The kid would come over, and the conversation would kind of fizzle out because you're like, oh, I don't really know what this kid's deal is.
Yeah.
Kid could be the nicest kid ever, could come over here and just fit right in with us. But in that work environment, he didn't really did pass that gut check, didn't really go, all right, yeah. Then he might have been the coolest person ever, but that's one big thing. They invite you to lunch, you go.
Absolutely.
They could be like, oh, we're about to eat some... I don't even know. You might hate spicy food. Like, we're gonna eat 1,000. What is it? What is the spice meter? What's like the spiciest thing? Like decibel? Not decibels. Joules.
Scovilles.
Oh yeah. They're like, oh, we're gonna go try these 1,000 Scoville wings. You might not like wing or spicy stuff. You gotta do it. You just gotta maybe bring a thing of secret milk with you, then drink it because. That's a gut check. You can't be like, oh, no, because then you're just a stick in the mud. You only get so many of those in those office environments. You have to take advantage.
True.
Very true. Especially, like, you only get to make a good impression once, most people say. So if your coworkers invite you out, you might as well go because that helps you build that inner circle at work. It helps you build friends, so it makes the day go by quicker, and it just makes the whole working environment way more enjoyable, I guess you could say. And at least you know you have people who, like, at the end of the day, you can go talk to them, you can go out for drinks with them, whatever.
Yeah, I agree. So the other thing I wanted to talk about, this kind of fits into the work environment and something I talked about in the very beginning, was, coffee shop etiquette. But this could kind of go for anywhere where you're kind of in this close quarters environment, you know, like whether it's like you're going to Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks to get your coffee, or if you're like at like the bagel shop or something. My one big pet peeve, as I mentioned in the beginning, is I hate when people are on the phone in those small places. But there's no one really winning in that scenario, you know? The only thing that you could really hope for and when you're in a coffee shop is that you could go in, get your coffee, and then head right back out the door. Because you can't talk on the phone, because I feel like, I mean, that might just be my little rule. But, like, you know, I hate when I'm standing there and someone's, you know, yapping away on the phone, talking really loud and just in this really small, quiet place. I'm like, come on, you know, it's really annoying. But also, you don't really have any other conversation. I hate looking at people in those places, too. I don't know. Like, is this just me being really antisocial?
Eye contact to an absolute minimum.
You cannot make eye contact. Don't make eye contact with the person at the cash register. Don't make eye contact with the people behind the counter that aren't directly communicating with you. Don't look at them. Don't look at the people around you. Look down at your phone. But, like, yeah, that's... What were you going to say?
I think it is a bit nitpicky, but at the same time, like, you're in a closed, confined, small space. Like, no one really wants to hear your business, your phone call. You can wait the 2 minutes to get your coffee and head out and then make the phone call or answer your phone call. It's really not that big of a deal. No one wants to hear your business. You don't want to hear their business. Like, get your coffee, get out, go make your call is how I look at it. I mean, it's not the end of the world. I'm not going to – obviously, I wouldn't say anything, but I think it's just get your coffee and get out. Make your call after.
Yeah, I agree. There's a bunch of places you really shouldn't use your phone, right? Like, the first and foremost, I commute to work. The golden rule on the bus, especially in the morning, is silence.
Yes.
You do not talk on the phone. You do not talk to the person next to you. You do not yawn too loud.
It's like
if you
prison.
Sneeze, you're getting dirty looks. Like, it's silence on the bus. The doctor's office when you're waiting in the...
Never.
Yeah, when you're waiting in the what is it?
Waiting room.
Waiting room. Yeah, the waiting room. Don't look at anyone in the waiting room.
Yeah, the waiting room is pretty much silence. You read a magazine. Even the DMV, I'm pretty sure there's signs saying don't talk on your phone in the DMV.
I hate DMV.
People have been yelled at. I've seen people actually.
You don't
that rule enforced.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you go places and, like, you never see the rule enforced. If you go to, like, a baseball field, like, no spitting seeds. Meanwhile, the baseball players are all spitting seeds. If you talk on the phone in the DMV, they, like, rip you apart. I was shocked.
Yeah. The DMV is just a miserable place to begin with. The people working there are miserable. You're miserable because they're miserable. It's just not a place you really want to be, and especially a place where you want to hear other people's nonsense.
We don't have to keep talking about the DMV. We could get back to my nitpicking of coffee shops. DMV people are really all grumpy. There is no... I've never been to a DMV, and the person would be smiling.
Though. Yeah, that is miserable.
Nobody wants to be there. But, like, nobody that walks in there wants to be there.
There's some places where you work. Like, there's some places where you never want to work, but you still see people. Like the toll booths on the parkway. No one wants to work there, but there's still some people. Hi, how are you?
I've only had good interactions with people at toll booths. Like whenever I'm paying cash, it's almost always like I have a good day. Like it's never actually a grumpy. Never that I've had.
I'm shocked by that, but because like standing in that booth all day, that cannot be fun.
So am I. Every time I'm actually pretty surprised.
I'm amazed.
And you can't have a real conversation with someone. You have a 5 second. Thank you. Have a good one. Yeah. That's all you get. You can't. Yep, how was your day? None of that.
Nope.
DMV, at least maybe you have a chance of that, but no, they're all cranky as hell.
Well, they hate their lives.
Just to get back to the DMV for just 1 second, there's maybe a 0.5% of people that are happy to be at the DMV, and those are people that have just turned 17.
Yes.
And are going to get their license. And
Spot on. That's the only people happy in the entire DMV. You got to go back for your other licenses after that. You are miserable. They're miserable. It's just a place you want to get in and out as fast as possible.
Yes, I agree. But anyway, back to my coffee shop thing. You can't look at anyone, but there's also that time where there's a time limit. There, you should be in and out in 3 minutes. If it gets longer than 3 minutes, stuff starts getting weird. Because then the people next to you are also waiting a long time for their stuff. So all of a sudden, they're kind of nothing. I mean, this sounds like I'm the most antisocial person ever. But I was standing there last week waiting for my coffee before I went to work. I saw the guy next to me kind of like look at something on his phone, start chuckling. I see out of the corner of my eye, glances at me as if he wanted to share what he, I was like, oh. So then I end up having this like 5 minute conversation with this guy I don't know about some weird thing that he had seen on his phone. He's like, oh yeah, man, see you later, like all like upbeat. And I was like, oh man, like, you know, because then like you get your coffee, then of course once the guy starts talking to me, the coffee comes out. But then that's where so like if it goes over 3 minutes, stuff starts getting weird, because then people start feeling like they have to talk to each other, just like in the human nature of things. And I just try to avoid that as much as possible in the mornings. If there's someone that I'm with, like if I go with a friend, I could stand there and wait for my coffee and talk to them. But I don't want to go there and talk to some other person I don't know.
Yeah. Absolutely. You won't find me unless I go with a friend. I'm not going to a coffee place where I have to walk into. I'm hitting the drive-thru at Starbucks, mostly Starbucks, Dunkin', whatever the situation is. If I'm not with a friend or somebody I know, a relative, whatever, I'm hitting the drive-thru. I don't want to talk to them. They don't want to talk to me. It's as brief as possible. You don't have to deal with the awkward eye contact. It's just way easier to deal with.
I mean, I feel like I don't know if it's all of us, but I feel like I have a bit of like a social anxiety. I hate doing things alone that involve like being out in public. Like, don't get me wrong, I do it. It doesn't stop me from doing what I need to do. But I'd much rather be with someone I know that like, you know, I could, you know, say like I'm with this person than running errands alone. I don't like doing it.
I agree. And something else I noticed in these places is that there is never enough standing room when you're waiting. You go in to get coffee on like a Friday morning, there's never enough waiting room. You're always like shoulder to shoulder with these people. Then you got the people pouring out from the order part to the wait for your pickup, and you're awkwardly rubbing shoulders with everyone. And it's just an all around not good scenario, unless you're with someone, of course. Other than that, you have to somehow salvage a short conversation with a stranger about, it's cold out, isn't it? Like, oh, God, yeah, it is cold out, sir. Yeah, like, I don't care. But the other one, I guess, is kind of fits the bill as well. Elevators are just, it's like, you know those, like, sensory deprivation things? Elevators are a conversation deprivation chamber. And if you engage in a conversation in an elevator, it's just terrible. Because, well, not only the conversation. You can't even look at anyone. So we were just talking about how you can't look at anyone in these DMV coffee places. You can't look at anyone in an elevator, but you have to literally be like chest to chest with some of them sometimes. Hotel elevators are always like 20 kids and like the grandma comes in the wheelchair and you're just all wedged in together and you can't look at anyone. But where do you look? You can't look at the wall.
Elevators by nature are just the most awkward places. Like I've taken an elevator every day to and from my job, and it's just staring at a piece of friggin' metal for 30 seconds.
I look at the corner.
Well, thankfully my elevator has actually a little screen that like gives you the news. It gives you like like sports updates. It's pretty cool. Like it's something that like could distract you. But if you're not in view of it, yeah, you're just sort of looking at the ground or
yeah.
Staring at the door.
You better believe if I'm on an elevator, I'm staring at my phone the entire time.
You can't get to the phone sometimes. Sometimes it, because there's the other thing.
I'll make a point to get to my phone. I am not staring at somebody in the face.
This might just be me as well because I'm kind of a weird person. I feel like when I have my – I don't like taking out my phone in an elevator because you could only hold it like at like down by like your like pockets. And if there's like a girl next to me, I feel like they're thinking that I'm checking them out. And I'm just paranoid because I'm thinking like they're like thinking like, oh, this guy's like looking at my butt right now.
You're a real creep.
Yeah, they think I'm like a creep, but I'm not. I'm just trying to have my phone out. But then like if it's like not, then you have to stand there. For everyone at home who can't see me, I'm like doing a weird, awkward looking at my phone kind of thing. And the person may be like, oh, this person's taking a picture of me. When I just want to make this 30 seconds of awkwardness go by as seamlessly as possible.
I think also when you're in an elevator, though, I think you're all kind of on the same page. Like, you just want to get out of that elevator as quick as possible. Like, unless you're a real social type of guy, you're not trying to make conversation. You're kind of just in there staring around, looking around, just waiting for that elevator door to open for your floor.
1% of people that are trying to make conversation in an elevator, and then the other 99% they're trying to make conversation with hate every moment of it.
Yeah, you're a real freak if you're trying to make conversation.
Is the one place where having a friend doesn't really help because you don't want to be having a conversation in an elevator with your friend with five other people within 3 feet of you. When I get in an elevator, regardless of who I'm with that I know, I shut up. The conversation pauses wherever we are, and when the door's open and we get back out, we continue the conversation.
Yeah. Like, that's like me. Like, sometimes I'll be on the phone, I'll get into an elevator, and I'll just, like, stutter. I'll be like, oh, yeah, so, I was thinking that, and I just never actually get my point out until I'm actually off the elevator. Because with the phone up to your ear, it also kind of deters eyes from you. So that's pretty good. In an elevator, and no one's looking at you, then you're like, oh, yeah, and then you get off the elevator, and you're like, oof.
Yeah, being on your phone's got to be terrible just because you know no one wants to hear your conversation. You could, like, keep it up to your ear and kind of just not really have the conversation, but, like, no one wants to hear anybody else on the phone, let alone even having a conversation
in
the elevator.
Everyone is hearing it, too. And
everyone's
listening.
They're eating it up.
Everyone's listening and digesting everything you're saying because they have nothing else to pay attention
to.
So they're taking it in. That's why I stop my conversation.
Yeah, even with people in front of me, I don't talk to them because then the person, like, when I'm on the elevator and people are having a conversation, all I'm doing is I'm looking at the ground. I'm just listening, absorbing everything they're talking about. Yeah. So, like, if you're having a really important conversation on an elevator that I'm with you on,
you might as well take the stairs.
Yeah, you might as well take the stairs because I'm eating it up.
Yeah.
You know that movie, movie Devil or whatever, and it was like those people stuck on an elevator?
That person
could have made just as equally of a frightening movie of just today's, like, society.
Just standard elevator ride.
Just a standard elevator ride goes wrong. The thing breaks. Maybe like six people, because if there's like four people, all right, then you each get a corner and you could talk. Six people, those like extra two people don't really have a comfortable spot because then you start crossing legs. You can't sit down.
And when things just get awkward.
Yeah, it's just awkward silence for as many hours. You don't even need the lights flickering and, oh my God, with the demon. Just me having to try and converse with people that I don't know. Well, there's like six of us kind of like...
That's enough.
You don't have enough space either to look at them, you know?
Yeah.
If someone tries to talk to you on an elevator, you don't have enough space to turn and then answer them. You're all like kind of shoulder to shoulder. So if you like look, you're either talking to them like at like really close face distance, or you have to talk across someone else that's awkwardly trying to stay out of your conversation. I hate that.
Elevators are just miserable.
I hate being on an elevator or waiting in like a line or something and like people are talking across me. I'm like, oh, this is the most awkward thing ever. Because then I feel like I also have to jump into the conversation, whether they want me to or not, because I'm like, oh, I need to get out of this awkwardly, like, being, like, the mediator of this person's conversation.
Absolutely.
But you got to think, and this kind of goes along with what we're talking about here, depending on your situation sort of determines how you're going to act. So you get on an elevator, that thing breaks down, and you get a little announcement, hey, it's going to be fixed in 2 hours. Now all of a sudden you're probably gonna become friends with these people on the elevator at some point, right?
You kind of have to. I feel
just because
like
your scenario has now changed. Now you just kind of turn around and hey, where are you from?
Hey, if you're gonna be there,
invites you to a conversation. Yeah. You all could go, oh darn, really? Then you could just all bash the people who make the elevator.
If you're in the elevator and you get stuck and you know it's gonna be a little bit, you might as well start making conversation, because if not, that is going to be such an awkward amount of time until that elevator's fixed. You might as well just have a very generic conversation, like, oh, this company stinks, whoever made this elevator, like, different shit like that.
I think it's the briefness of an elevator ride that makes it so awkward, right? It's just like,
That's a kind of like when you go up to like a drive-through, or not the drive-through, the thing on like the parkway, the toll booths. It's like so awkward because you're like, oh, hey, how you doing? All right, bye. But like, at least that's quick enough.
It's yeah,
like
you're not
5 seconds.
Yeah.
You have like a good, like, depending. If you're in New York City, that could be like a 2 minute elevator ride.
Could be, yeah.
And like, you know, like if you're somewhere in like Parsippany, or I guess somewhere there's other people from other places who don't know where Parsippany is, a small business place.
Shout out to like, those people in Belize.
Or there's like four floors. You got like 30 seconds, but you can't look at them and start a conversation because it's going to be over by the time it begins. But you also can't, like, I don't know. It's just not great. But I guess in the same flip of the same side of the token, as we were just talking about briefly before, buses are equally as bad. There's more room on a bus, but you don't always get your way. You know, like if you're maybe like us three went to like a Yankee game, we all three enter the bus. But maybe two of us get a seat in the same row, and then the person behind gets stuck. Person behind, I'd say, is immediately out of the conversation.
Yeah.
Because then you're gonna make the people turn around and talk to you?
I think another really awkward one is the subway, because
same thing,
except some people are standing, others are sitting. You gotta hold, if you don't hold on to the railing, that dirty railing, and the subway takes off, you're going to get launched back. You got people sitting next to you you don't know, standing next to you you don't know. That's a really awkward situation that nobody also wants to be in, but they have to be for work-related things and whatever
else. I think we could umbrella that public transit.
Yeah, public transit. Because I was going to say in just public transit in general, you're standing up, there's so much more pressure and anxiety on you because, like, if you get halted to a stop, you're going to go forward and bump into someone or go back. So whenever I'm on those, I hold on for dear life. I'm like, please, God, don't let it be too jammy of a stop where I bump into the guy in front of me awkwardly or the person behind me. Because, you know, I'm like a big dude. If I get flung back and I get some little lady, I'm going to topple her over. And then that's a whole other thing. Then you have to have the, oh, my bad.
Especially if you're taking the subway in the city, people are ruthless on those subways. People aren't scared to tell you, like, go F yourself. Like, well, people are ruthless. They're miserable on those subways.
Well, when we went to the Yankee game in the summer, we were all standing there piled in like sausages. Subways are warm to begin with. Now we're in June. We're all packed in together, and everyone's dripping sweat. Steamy. You know, you're holding onto the railing and, like, ugh, the perspiration from the top of the thing. Terrible.
Public transportation as a whole is just miserable. No one wants to do it. People just have to do it because, obviously, driving in the city is nothing short of miserable.
As I say, New Jersey residents, I think, have it worse because you go on that public transit into the Lincoln Tunnel. Oh, my God. You're waiting to get into the Lincoln Tunnel for, like, an hour. And then you're in it for another hour. In the whole meantime, like, I luckily am blessed where I could drive myself to work. But those people that have to, like you, Victor, probably have to take the bus into work. You know, if you get the middle seat, you can't really stretch out. You have to keep your elbows in nice and tight.
Well, there's no middle seat unless you're in the very, very back. The very back is a four-person row. Luckily, I've never been in a situation I've had to go back there.
See, I like taking the back row if I'm with people, obviously, for good reason. If you take the back and you're stuck next to a bunch of strangers, you are piled in tight. You got your arms on your lap trying not to take up like more room than you have to. It's just uncomfortable, honestly.
Not only that, then you also have the situation with your phone. You know, you don't want to really be on your phone too much because you feel like the person next to you is looking over, seeing what you're up to. I'm always afraid when I'm on, whether it's a bus, plane, subway, I'm afraid to pull out my phone and, like, start going through Instagram because I follow some, like, pretty, like, weird meme accounts. So I'm just waiting for one to pop up and it's just some real effed up shit and, like, some, like, regular, like, 30-year-old guy sitting next to me and, like, glances over and sees him looking at some weird thing. He's going to think I'm a freak. I really shouldn't care if the guy thinks I'm a freak because I'll literally never see him again. But I'm always afraid to look at my phone when I'm out at on these things because even with like my friends sitting next to me, I don't want my friends to look over and see what I'm doing on my phone.
Well, on the bus in particular, if you're sitting behind someone and they're on their phone and they're holding it like, you know, relatively right below their face, you from like the angle of the window, you have a perfect view of their phone.
Yeah,
and every single time. I notice it every single day. And now I make a conscious effort not to swipe through Tinder in that angle.
Right.
Because I know someone's the staring
guy,
at me.
Yeah, the guy behind you is like, oh, man,
aggressively
really?
Swiping left on everything.
Yeah, he's like, oh, man, really? You swiped on her?
It's so hard not to look, though. They're holding it up with a direct angle to your face. How can you not look?
It's human nature.
How can you not look?
It's like, human nature to be like, oh, man, what's he doing? Oh, they could be like, there's been people who have been from, like, Asia, and their whole phone will be in another language. I'll still look and see what they're doing. I'm like, oh, man, what are they doing? It's all just symbols to me. I can't understand anything that it is, but I'm like, what are they doing? Because there's nothing else to do because you're like so crammed into these places.
And it's human curiosity because whatever someone's doing on their phone is probably, you know, I mean, not all the time, but in a lot of cases, personal. And by human nature, we just want to know what this other person's life is like if we can without having to do anything, you know, like not having to ask or anything like that.
Yeah. Like, no, it's kind of funny though, because going into kind of a next topic, it's funny that area where you're crammed in with strangers and everywhere we've talked about so far, crammed in with strangers sucks. Somewhere that is like the golden exception of that is when you're at a sporting event. When you're at like a Yankee game or a Giants game or wherever you are, your local sports team's game, you're all like kind of in these, like, us being 22-year-olds, we don't really have the money to be getting those nice big plush seats like in the first row at any stadium. But like, we're up in the bleachers where there's like literally like 30 people stacked in one small area. And yet it's totally cool because everyone else is, I feel like, because then when you're younger, it's a little awkward. But when you're older, then you have the alcohol. Then all of a sudden, everyone around you is really buddy-buddy.
No.
Go ahead. Finish your thing. That's a whole other thing.
I think just pretty much when you're at a sporting event, though, it's different, especially if you're sitting next to fans of the same team as yours. Like, you have something to talk about, at least, depending on how social you are. But at least it gives you that middle ground you can find with one another. Or if it's someone on the other team, you can shit talk them. I tend to do that a lot at sporting events. But where you're sitting compared to where you're on the subway, you don't know anybody. Nobody wants to talk to you. You don't want to talk to them. At least at sporting events, you have that common ground of like, all right, we're both supporting the Giants. We're both supporting the Yankees. Like, there's some middle ground to talk about because you're all rooting for the same thing.
Yeah, there's some common ground that's readily apparent based on what they're wearing, pretty much.
Exactly.
And where you are. It's fun. It's an entertainment event, right? The subway isn't fun.
Elevator
isn't fun.
Movies are kind of, you're there for entertainment, and it sucks because I hate when all of a sudden you see the person next to you sit down and like, sporting event. It must be the liquor.
It has to be, because I know, like, it kind of runs the same thing. It's a little bit different, but when you're in class and it's that first day and like, I mean, me personally, I kind of like not sitting by myself, but I like when there's a seat next to me, whether even if it's just one where no one sits, just because I feel like during class, like, it's just awkward. You're there to learn. You're not there to really do anything else. And sometimes other people are more social. They'll ask you questions like, what's going on and different stuff, where like, you're just like, dude, I don't want to be here. Stop talking to me. Like, I'm in class. I'm miserable.
You can't even, because I hate when people would sit next to me in class. Really quick to detour. I used to hate when people would sit next to me in class and the professor would be talking. I'm trying to listen. All of a sudden, the guy next to me is like, yo, look at this. Or like, show me like a video on his phone, or like, be like, yo, like, whoa, what's going on here? Like, dude, like, I don't know. Like, can I listen to what the professor's talking about? Because then you're also roped into being guilty of talking in class while the professor's talking with this kid that you're not even, like, you don't even know.
I remember one class at Rowan specifically. I got really lucky. I walked in and sat at a 3-person table. And as I watched people walk in, I didn't know a single person. So I'm like, all right, please, nobody sit next to me on either side. Like, I'm in the only one at this table. Pretty much everywhere is filled. So, like, I'm kind of have no option, but people are going to sit next to me. Luckily, I got so lucky. Two of my friends walked in and sat next to me. And
it's huge.
Not that I don't like when people sit next to me, but if it's going to be somebody that sits next to me, at least if it's a friend, it's manageable. You have somebody you can talk to about the class inside or out, and they know what's going on. And or if you're talking in class, at least you know it's someone you can relate to, and it just makes the time go by quicker, honestly.
It's never a normal person that sits next to you, though. The stranger that sits next to you and starts talking to you, you're never going to have a normal person sit next to you and start talking. Well, I mean, at least in my experiences, and I might just have bad luck with that. But there was always like a real weird kid. And I remember the one time the kid hated the professor and always complained to me, oh my God, like, oh, like kind of like, you know, like complain out loud and kind of like condescend the professor.
You're
going
to rope me into that?
Yeah, like he keeps me kind of hoping the professor, like half hoping the professor heard him. And I'd be like, oh, like saying it to me kind of laughing. I'm like, I don't want to be roped into what your like your game is here. And it'd be terrible. Back to the sporting events. Kind of like Nick, we have a experience at a sporting event where it wasn't so pleasant because the people in front of us were the biggest stiffs alive.
Yeah, and, the guy had a problem. I mean, I have to be honest. I was pretty far under the influence, and I'm sure not everything I was saying was necessarily appropriate. But at the same time, I paid money for my ticket. You paid money for your ticket. Let me go on a tangent if I want to. I understand it's not all appropriate, and I'm sorry for that. But at the same time, like, we both paid to come to the game. I'm going to enjoy myself no matter what that person has to say.
Well, it isn't like it was like a Tuesday afternoon game at a Yankee game. And, you know, you're sitting up in the front row with, like, more of the classier people. We're sitting pretty far up in the Yankee stands. And this lady has her son there or whatever. And she starts complaining to Nick
about
about Nick, what he was saying. You're at a Yankees game against the Red Sox on a Saturday night. You know everyone was at the bar pre-gaming beforehand.
Yeah, she knew we were putting them back.
It wasn't like he was like saying anything too far over the line. He just kept like yelling at Mookie Betts because we were in the right field. And she's like, oh, can you not? And the guy's like, oh, like screaming. Like, there's like a, like, he's like, oh, everyone, he's like, there's have some respect for the people around you. Look around, just the standard Yankee fan. You know, you have the guys in their Yankees pinstripes jersey with their Italian chain and Yankee hat screaming, let's go Yankees. Everyone around us.
You know what you signed up
for.
You know exactly what you signed up for.
If you didn't want to be traumatized, I heard there's a matinee game at 1 p.m. against the friggin', I don't even know, the Phillies.
Not to mention the girl. It's not like the kids were like 7, 8 years old. These kids were old enough to where I'm sure they know what they know what I'm saying, and I'm sure they've said worse beforehand. It's not like I was screaming extremely inappropriate thing. I mean, I'm sure I was to an extent, but I'm not doing it in front of 7 and 8 year olds where like they're gonna retain everything I say and be like, "Hey, mommy, remember what he said at the Yankee game?" And whatever I said.
Well, here, you want to know what Nick said at the Yankee game?
Oh, this should be interesting.
All he said was that Mookie, he kept going, he said, nice calves, Mookie. We don't know if that was a compliment or if he was condescending him saying that he had small calves. But the lady, like, literally lost her lid over that.
I was just finding anything to troll.
Which, yeah, like, it makes no sense.
I remember specifically, I mean, we went to a Giants game, Ryan, and our friend Dan, and I was definitely under the influence, but I wasn't saying anything bad. I was screaming stuff like Chase Daniels, the Bears quarterback at the time.
Oh, I was unhinged.
Fly Spirit Airlines. Chase Daniels uses Tinder. Like, just a variety of different stuff like that. Just stupid comments, but like, those were, people love those. I mean,
We were unhinged. Yeah. I was screaming out his daughter's name, and his daughter's like 4 years old.
That goes back to high school. I remember Butler, our junior year. Our fans found out everything there is to know about Butler's family. Yeah, their mothers, their daughters, their sisters, their dad's names.
I used to go on Max Preps, then look them up on Facebook, then go to Related To, and then find all of their relatives' names. So then when they'd be shooting free throws, I'd be like, Dorothy.
It was incredible to listen to. I couldn't stop laughing throughout the game.
They got a lot of wins that season, and guess what happened in that Giants game against the Bears, who were a lot better of a team than they were? They won. You know why? Chase Daniels definitely heard us saying that he was adopted. He didn't even earn the S in his name. That's why he's Chase Daniel.
We were only about 20 rows up to it, and we were screaming at the top of our lungs. There's no way he couldn't hear us. There's no way.
These people with sticks in the mud were mad at him complimenting Mookie Betts' calves.
And then
the guy followed Nick into the bathroom and like tried to like intimidate him.
Yeah, I was like, dude. We're at a Yankee game. I was like, relax a little bit. Your son has probably said way worse than what I'm saying right now. I'm not cursing. I'm sure a couple things did get out of line, a little inappropriate. But I wasn't crossing a barrier to where this kid was like would be traumatized by it. It was pretty standard, just a drunken baseball fan supporting his team.
tell them to go four sections over, I'm sure it'd be 10 times worse than what we were saying.
Yeah, it was minuscule, but it just shows that different people have different thoughts on how you should, on social etiquette and where you are. It's kind of a crazy concept.
Well, that's like also like with like bars. I feel like you could be a lot more unhinged at a bar where you don't know anyone versus those bars. Like, you know, for us, like we have a bar in our town where you go there and you're going to see 99% of the people you go or you see there are people that you know. So there you have to be a little bit more like almost reserved. You know, you have like small talk with people and the night kind of passes on kind of more tame. But then all of a sudden you go out to a bar and you don't know half the people. Then it just gets reckless.
Yeah, there's a different setting for it. Like if you go to Sunset, the bar Brownie was referring to, it's definitely a more low key type of bar. You're not like it's more casual sipping, I would say, than really trying to like pollute yourself. Whereas if you go to Morristown or Hoboken or something along those lines, even Montclair, depending on where you go, it's more of like a place where you're ready to kind of just let loose. You don't really care about what other people think because you don't know 90% of the people there. Where if you go to a bar in your own town, it's like you know everybody there. You kind of have to act a certain way, especially if there's parents and different things you know there. You don't want to come off as a psycho.
Well, yeah, the worst thing with those two, though, is when you see the people out. Or not when you see the people out. Like, I don't mind seeing people that I know from our town and having conversations with them. Like, you know, that's, like, fun catching up with people. But the problem is that you can't get too drunk because then, you know, like you probably both are guilty of it, too. When you see someone at the Sunset Pub and they're too drunk, then everyone's like, oh, my God, you see that person at the pub that last night?
I remember.
And then it just flies around town, and it's just, like, the worst thing ever. So, like, you always have to be, like, extra more cautious and have, like, your metaphorical safety helmet on when you go out to those kind of places.
Shout out to Blowhub, but I remember specifically one time last summer we were at the pub, more of a low-key night. We wanted to just go out a little bit, have a couple of drinks and whatever, and he got obliterated. He ended up getting thrown out of the place, and it wasn't bad, honestly. It wasn't that bad just for the sheer fact that it was late at night. It was mostly younger kids around our age, a few years older and whatever else. So like it's like there were parents there where he's getting tossed. But it also wasn't the type of place where you're going to go there and just get hammered and, like, be a drunken mess, is more or less what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, because then you remember that night specifically. Meanwhile, I could list, like, I can't even count on two hands how many times I've just been completely bent out of shape at,
way too
you know,
many
in
times.
Hoboken or, like, when you're at, like, a place in Morristown or, like, a bar. For like a more general sense where you go with like your like a few of your friends, but then other than that you don't know a single soul there. And those bars are pretty fun. The one thing I don't like about them though is that, which kind of sucks, which I guess will be my little social critique on them, is that I don't like when you're at like a really loud bar and you can't really have a conversation with someone and yet like you're kind of next to them and you're like, all right. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever thought about like, what was that conversation I had with those people last night?
Yeah.
I can't even think about it because I'm like, couldn't even hear myself think.
Yeah, that's definitely a combination of the alcohol and it just being so loud. Like, you go to Sunset, they're playing casual music, like low-key. But if you go to Morristown, Hoboken, something like that, they're playing like a ton of house music, a bunch of different stuff because they want a different type of energy. It's a different environment where people are way more fired up and they're not looking to have a few drinks. They're looking to really pollute themselves.
Get buttered up.
I think that's one of my gripes with like really crazy bars is just literally how loud the music is. I don't mind having a conversation with someone, especially if I've had a little bit of alcohol in me, but sometimes that's literally impossible. When it's too loud to have a conversation, you literally can't.
You can't even hear yourself think.
That's the one thing holding me back is just literally I do not want to scream at the top of my lungs literally right next to your ear. You can't have a conversation like that.
Yeah. I was going to say, I hate how people are like, oh my God, like, you should just go and like talk to some girls and stuff because yeah, I'm single, so like you know, like my family members like, oh, Ryan, you have to get a girlfriend. Why don't you go out to a bar?
I hear
you
that same get a thing.
You're gonna get a girlfriend at Iron Bar. Hey, how are you? Yeah. I mean, also not to help that I'm pretty like I'll be pretty drunk at 11 o'clock at night at a bar in Morristown. Now I'm gonna try and have a real conversation with some girl in the matter of the 5 minutes of where sex, drugs, and house by whoever's blowing out my eardrums. I'm gonna be able to get from point A to point B, where I'm like, all right, I got this girl's number and can assess like, okay, that was nice. Let me text her tomorrow and go for lunch. I could barely understand what my friends are saying.
The most success I've ever had, like talking to girls at bars, has been outside of the bar, like in the smoking area are in an area where it's like, you know, the music's not playing as loud.
100%.
I've never, ever, ever had any success doing anything. Not, and I haven't really tried, to be honest, in a situation where you can't hear yourself.
It's so much tougher, though, especially because when it's really loud and stuff, the music's blasting. Chances are you're going to be packed in tight with a bunch of people. Like, when you go out and you can step outside and, like, collect yourself, way easier to talk to girls. They went out there for the same reason, not the same reason to get talked to by guys, but just for that couple minutes alone where they can like regather themselves, and it's easier to form a conversation that way where you're not screaming over each other and over the music.
That's why I like outdoor bars, because the music doesn't bounce off the walls as much as when you're at some place at like a city bar where everything's just ricocheting off, whether it's other people's conversations and the music and like all of the, you know, the wacky noises. Oh, they won free shots. Crazy shit. Like, you're trying to talk to a person and there's like a clown horn in the background. Like,
plus you're all sweaty and stuff. No girl, you don't want to go up to a girl and try to have a conversation to her when you're sweaty. And that's just what comes with those indoor bars that are packed. Like when you go out to certain places,
you just torch money as a guy. You just burn money. You see a really cute girl where you're like, if I was at a bar where I could actually hear myself think, it'd go really well. But you're at some bar and you're like, all right, I have to shoot, you know? It's kind of like you're in triple coverage, like during like a basketball game, but there's no seconds on the shot clock. You're not going to get a better look. So like, all right, got to pull up and shoot now. Like, you just got to, then it's just so awkward because you know you're going to, like, it's just such a botched attempt.
Well, it's too loud to talk with your vocal cords, but money talks really loud.
Yeah, you're like, oh, buy you a my debit card.
That's sometimes
drink,
the best bet. Yeah.
Drink? They're like, oh, yeah. And then they get in, then you can't hear yourself talk. So the girl already is like, all right, I'm going to get a drink, rob a drink off this guy, then get the hell out anyway.
Yeah.
The music's too loud where you can't even try and, like, finesse her. Like, you know, like the elevator pitch? It's like 20 times harder than an elevator.
There's
pitch,
nothing.
Not only are you competing in a short amount of time of where she's like, all right, I have to go find my friends, that old spiel.
Yeah.
But then you also have to compete with the guy playing on his guitar, I don't even know, some song, or Paramore or something.
There's nothing worse than when you go to a bar, you're talking to a girl who you think is cute, and you offer to buy shots, a drink, whatever. And she just walks away after you are sweating your nuts off, trying to have a conversation with her in this loud bar where you can barely hear what she says. Not only are you sweating, but you're spending money on a girl who may not ever talk to you again, and she very well could walk away.
Oh, they never
talk
to you again.
Oh, you have to really be smart and pick and choose with who you're going to buy drinks for.
Well, not only pick and choose, you can't. You can't hear. You can't have a good conversation. I would love for someone listening to this right now to reach out to me and let me know of a success story where they went out to a bar in a very loud environment and they got girl's number and they actually had a successful, you know, like relationship with them.
It's
you
rare.
Can't hear. You can't hear them talk. I can't even if you like, all right, yeah, call me. They could have given me someone else's number and be talking to me for all I know because you can't hear them. And then like, oh, what'd you guys talk about? Like the next day, what'd you guys talk about? Or what'd you talk to that girl about? I'm like, I don't know. I barely understand what I was having a conversation with you about. And it's so annoying. You know, like you're just like, yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, totally.
Especially if you go to another one of those big places where people could be literally from anywhere. They could just, you get a girl's number. One, you probably barely know what she said. You probably don't even know what she looks like or very briefly remember. Plus, there's a ton of people there. It's just, it's so much harder. That girl could be from live an hour away from you, and you have no idea, but you think she's really good looking.
That's fine. That's the distance doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that what I don't
right.
like is that I can't understand what the fuck she was saying to me.
That's why the whole classic. You gotta talk to them like you're pretty much talking into each other's ears. It's obviously not ideal, but when you're at a place like that, you don't really have much of an option other than to like pretty much stare at their ear and talk to it in a non-weird way.
It's weird by nature.
You're like screaming in their ear, how are you? Like, but you're not even talking to their, you're not looking them in the face having a conversation with them. You're yelling into their ear. You have to like go up real close to like the side of their face. How are you doing?
It's just really uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable.
Well, I think that we've stressed the point that talking in a bar is really, really difficult. I wanna ask you guys something that I've seen some like hot debate over on Twitter specifically. When you're navigating through a bar, right? When you're trying to get when you're trying to get through, my personal mode of transportation is pretty much placing my hand on, regardless of gender, placing my hand on their body and, you know, pushing them in a direction, not a push, just sort of a little nudge. Just guiding them in the direction that I need them to go.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter who they are. And normally I'm placing my hand either on their shoulder or on their like lower waist. And again, it doesn't matter, man or female, it does not matter. But that's how I move around. And I've seen some hot debate on Twitter of females considering that sexual harassment, which I'm sure a case could be made in certain situations. I want to know what
your guys'
take
are. Some famous person got in trouble for that recently, right? I think some famous person literally got in trouble.
I think we clarified that saying "excuse me" probably isn't going to work, being that you can't hear someone when you're speaking.
Yeah, as we just talked about for 5 minutes.
Let alone saying "excuse me" when they're not even looking at you or paying attention to you, and the music is way too loud to even hear yourself think.
My thoughts on that is what I usually do is I'll usually try to I'll kind of turn my body on an angle so I can kind of slither through. I'll kind of touch them on the shoulder like a little tap, and they'll kind of turn. I'll just. And to the best of my ability, get my point across of me wanting them to move just so I can clear through. A little tap on the shoulder, you look at them, and I think they kind of, for the most part, will get the point. But just a little touch on the shoulder and then maybe a slight nudge, but nothing more like no push or anything. It's just a little so they get the hint of get out of my way.
Yeah. I do something called, I like to call, I think I've just coined this term myself, I call it the icebreaker. It's like, you know those ships that go through like Antarctica? They're like just kind of wedged. I side body it, so I shuffle through. I know some people go through directly, like they're frontwards. I like kind of like maneuver my body sideways.
Me
I go
too.
Through sideways, and I hold out my one arm in front of me, and then just shuffle through.
Yeah.
So like the person will see my fist kind of coming by, so then they kind of people usually will just be like, all right, here comes someone. So they kind of part ways, kind of.
Yeah.
Very rarely, like kind of have to lay on my metaphorical horn of me saying excuse me, but then I usually get through pretty easily that way. I side shuffle all the way through. You know, I'm a pretty big dude, so I don't if I go through front ways. You know, I have pretty broad shoulders. I'm just going to be bumping into everyone. So I sidearm it, extend my arm ahead of time. So kind of a forewarning to them. All right, here comes someone. And usually it works. Occasionally, sometimes I'll just have to tap on the shoulder, a little whisper, excuse me. Then they get out of the way.
So I think I actually, of you two, I'm probably the worst if anyone wanted to come back to me with some sort of sexual harassment claim. Because I literally will place my hand on your body and just ever so slightly put pressure on your body in the direction I need you to go. And it's never nobody's ever turned around and said anything to me. But from what I've seen some hot debate.
Sorry, Brian.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think going off of that is typically when someone touches your shoulder and they're behind you and they can kind of see your body's movement. I think for the most part, they'll get the point that they just want you to get out of the way for all of, 2 seconds. Where it's not really that much of like it shouldn't ever turn anything to anything more. Like people know it's a tight place that it's tough to maneuver in. That like just angling your body and a little touch on the shoulder, like I don't think should blow up into anything. Like they know what you want. They probably do the same thing if they haven't done it yet, they're probably gonna be doing it within the next couple minutes anyway. So
yeah,
well, I think it's also the intention. My intention is
yeah,
to
absolutely.
Get
they know what they know what you want.
Well, I've done that before too, Victor. But my issue that I run into is that everyone at a bar has trying to like kind of like boost their ego. So then all of a sudden they see this like guy with like a bigger stature, like trying to like kind of like push them aside or whatever, and they try to act all tough and like you know like bump me. I've had times where like there was this one time I was leaving a bar with someone and they were like kind of drunk, so I was trying to maneuver through and like I like tapped this girl on the one like to kind of push her out of the way. Girl like straight up like Wayne Gretzky just hip checks me, and I was at a bar like you know Mills Bar.
Yeah.
I was on the second floor and I was close to the stairs. She almost nudged me down the stairs. So very immaturely, I nudged her back really hardly and knocked her drink out of her hand. But like, there are some people where that was an anomaly. I just wanted to get that one off. I cleared the air with that one because some girl was like, didn't like that. I was trying to move by her.
She was probably one of the girls who tweeted the tweet or favorited the tweet.
Maybe.
But I would assume. I mean, maybe they were very viral.
Maybe there were people though who were like walking by her before in the night, like, you know, like shoving her out of the way.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, there are times where like I'll be trying to like to move a guy out of the way and he'll like turn to give me a straight dirty look and not move. I'm like, dude, like I don't want to do this. I just want to go to the bar and get a drinker. My friends are over there. Like I'm not trying to big dick you and like push you out of the way. I'm just trying to like
just get through. It's nothing more than just trying to get through and trying to
try and size me up. Everyone at the bar all of a sudden is like a big man. They're like, oh yeah, like to me, I'm like, I'm not like that at all. I'm like, I just want to go from here. Like,
yeah, I'm not trying looking for problems.
My testosterone levels like tonight are very like normal. Some people are like, you know, they have their Ed Hardy shirt dripping sweat.
Oh, that's dancing, the worst.
Like music blasting in the air, and they think all of a sudden that I'm trying to move by them. They're like, oh, that's a signal that I want to that he wants to fight me.
You wear
he's a big dude. I'm like, no, I just want to wear my flannel trying to go over and have a beer with
first
my friends.
First, back to what you said, Brownie. You wear an Ed Hardy t-shirt out to the bar. You probably shouldn't even bother walking in because everyone's looking
you
at you.
You turned around and sent back home.
Everyone's looking at you wearing Ed Hardy. They're the most obnoxious t-shirts like ever.
Bedazzled.
Bedazzled,
trying to
literally.
Salvage, bring back the old Jersey Shore ways. That's what it is.
Those were the... I have to be honest. I had a few of those Rush shirts off the boardwalk. Now, I personally never bought them, but I...
What are they called?
They're Rush. If you notice, Ronnie always wore them on the boardwalk and just out and about, and the Shore Store owner, Danny, would give him shit for it. Just a fun fact for you.
I saw that guy, Danny, from the Shore Store.
Me too. He thought I had problems as I ran rampant through his house, causing a massive scene.
Yeah, that guy's also an idiot.
Guy's 45 wearing flip-flops, Shore Store t-shirts, and a backwards hat.
Like the band Rush?
No, like it's just a short, like a clothing store company, I believe, that was in Seaside. I don't know if it's even a company anymore. Ever since the Jersey Shore ended, the original one, I don't know if that ever kept up as a business.
Well, whatever.
Regardless, irrelevant.
Yeah, just to round it up, I'm just trying to get through. I'm not so horny that I need to put my hand on your back. To get by.
Victor's like, to make things clear, I'm not trying to assault you.
This is my method of movement in a busy bar. It works for me. I've never had a bad experience.
Yeah, if you're a girl and you think taking anything, you'll know if a guy's trying to hit on you. If he just taps you on the back, like, can you move? It's nothing more than that. Don't overreact. Nothing more.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's probably most of the social places that, unless you guys have any other last lingering one that I didn't hit on, I think that pretty much settles everywhere some 22 to 50-something-year-old person would be going.
Yeah, I think I would have to agree. I think the bar one's probably the biggest one just because we frequently go there. Work is work. You know how that goes. It's the same thing probably no matter where you go.
And then everyone goes somewhere, whether it's a Dunkin' Donuts, McDonald's, DMV, those just places that just are just not – they just couldn't be too big or couldn't be – any more, I don't know how the proper way to say it. You couldn't make them big enough, a Burger King. You could make a Burger King the size of a city block, and there still wouldn't be enough room by the waiting area where it wouldn't be awkward. Or like a Starbucks. I've never been to a Starbucks where I'm like, wow, this is really spacious.
Yeah.
It's never big enough.
No, it never is. And the only time it's ever big enough is if you're probably the only person in that place.
You're never the only person there. Because there's always the person behind. I mean, I could talk about this all day. There's always the person behind you on their fucking laptop doing whatever. Maybe it's real work. Maybe they're just trying to pick up a girl by seeming sophisticated, which I would love to see if that actually worked.
You never know. I wouldn't be shocked. You never know. There are people out there who are weird. You never know.
Yeah, I think the rules are relatively universal. And the outliers stand out.
Yeah, there's certain places where you're like, all right, like you could really just kind of you could do no wrong. But then there's those places where you can do no right.
If you're that outlier, everyone knows who you are too, and people, I feel like for the most part, will definitely try to avoid you.
Right.
They don't want to deal with your nonsense.
Elevators, public transportation, DMVs. You can't be right in those scenarios. You're never gonna maneuver through those and be like, oh yeah, that was pretty dope. Like I like did really well. You never do well in those scenarios.
Never.
So I hopefully this conversation kind of helped you guide through that. Hopefully we made you feel more comfortable when you're at a sporting event or at a bar, like, you know, like it's okay to put your hands on people at a bar
as long as they understand the intent.
It's okay to touch people at the bars.
You might want to stop talking.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to tread that line.
There is a method. Do not go around just touching people at the bar.
me saying this right now, trying to tiptoe that nice uh tightrope, but I'm just gonna stop myself
just
now
because to the
I'm gonna end up saying it too far. But thank you, Nick, and thank you, Victor, for coming on. Hopefully, we did everyone well, did everyone justice tonight.
Thank you for having me.
It's been so great. Happy 20th listening to all of you. I don't know what reward that brings me besides
moving along in the podcast.
Moving along in the podcast world. Basement Banter Now, Joe Rogan Experience tomorrow, maybe. But anyway, thank you all for listening. This is Basement Banter. Thank you. Have a good one.